Order this, we'll call to order this joint committee meeting of the Finance Committee of the Connecticut Port Authority and the Audit Compliance and Governance Committee. First we'll take a roll, and we have Doug DeLina,
Here.
Gaffney Fesco,
Here.
Paul Hensch,
Here.
John Johnson is not here yet. Is David?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you in the room there? Okay. David Corris, Paul Whitescarver,
Here.
Tom Gill, and Kimberly Lessay.
He's on.
She's on.
She's on.
Kimberly, I can see you're on.
Yeah, I'm on. Can you guys hear me?
Terrific. Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, first order of business, second order of business is public comment. Jill, you want to give the instructions for any public comment anybody would have? All right, do we have anybody on the line or in the room?
If anyone wants to make public comment, you can raise your hand. If anybody's on the phone, you can press star six to unmute yourself or star nine to raise your hand.
Anybody from the public would like to comment? Okay, hearing nothing. The third order of business is to go into an executive session. I'll ask for a motion. I will read the motion that pursuant to section 1-210(b)(1) of the General Statutes of Connecticut, by a two-thirds vote of the members of the Finance Committee and the Audit Compliance and Governance Committee present in voting, the joint committees hereby approve to enter into an executive session for the purpose of discussing a draft audit report by independent auditors CohnReznick. Do I have a motion?
So moved. Second.
Second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstained? Okay, thank you. We'll now go into executive session.
Okay, please bear with me while I put everyone else in the waiting room. Tom, did you invite who is staying into the meeting?
Well, we have the auditors. So that's right, Jordan, Tina, and Melissa. And the members of the committee.
And me, Tom.
And the Port Authority.
Sorry, and the Port Authority staff. There's Faye, there's Michael. Anybody else from the staff there, Michael, today?
Just Jill.
And Jill. Okay, terrific.
Not just Jill, but Jill.
Just Jill.
All right, I think we're good. We're good. I'm going to stop recording. I'm going to pause.
Executive session.
Okay, thank you.
So we are now out of executive session. The combined committee discussed with our auditors at CohnReznick the audit services they provided, the required communications. They noted that, of course, it was a clean opinion, so we're happy with that. There's a discussion about internal controls, and after reviewing the draft audit, we noted that footnote 15 was wrongly characterized and will be changed by CohnReznick before submitting a final copy. Okay, so the next order of business then would be to recommend to the full board that they accept the 2025 independent audit report that we just reviewed with CohnReznick. Do I have a motion?
Oh, second.
Second, all in, or excuse me, any abstain? Any opposed? Any further discussion? All in favor?
Hi.
Any opposed? Sorry, I should have done that earlier. Any opposed? Any abstain? Okay. So we unanimously recommend that the board of directors accept that report. Okay. Fifth order of business is some cleanup. We've got the combined meeting notes of November 19th, 2024. The minutes of that meeting to be approved. Do I have a motion to approve?
We'll move.
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstain? Okay, that is unanimously adopted. And we also have the meeting minutes of December 12th, 2023 from the Audit Compliance and Governance Committee. And do we have a motion to approve those?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstain? Okay, those meeting minutes are approved. Okay, any old business related in the audit committee, audit compliance and governance committee to discuss today? Any new business? Okay, and then the final issue is the finance committee, the approval of the October 24th, 225 finance committee meeting minutes. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed or abstain? Okay. So then the next order of business is to review the insurance policy, the renewal proposal. And we have a Gowrie representative on the line. So why don't I hand it off to you or to Michael, who's going to manage this section here?
Michael, Ben is here for questions, but then you can do a quick summary of the policies.
Okay. Can we pull the summary up, or do you want me to do that?
Sure, I can grab it. Hold on with me. Can everyone see this?
Yes.
Actually,
yeah.
I think page.
Yeah. Excuse me. If we can, skip down to the
page 13. Cover it.
There we go.
That's it.
Okay. So we achieved we're seeing some stability in the market. You can see of all times to lose my voice. Stability with the public entity liability, the executive protection package, and the cyber pretty much renewed as expiring. We were able to get some flexibility from Navigators/the Hartford Insurance Company and the primary marine package. Flexibility was they're coming. We twisted their elbow a bit to get them to come off of their minimum premium. So we're seeing that reduction. And the bumper chute is, an arcane marine term for the excess marine liability. And that's a condition, pretty much a condition of the market, minimum premium for the layers of coverage. We did not feel it was prudent to market the public entity liability this year because, you know, we still do have open a claim, you know, related to the original executive director. And we've got the executive protection as supporting business with Chubb, you know, on those lines. So we felt it best, you know, to leave those there, you know, until that matter is resolved. On the marine package, you know, we are keeping our ear to the market. One of the concerns, you know, as we've marketed in the past with the Connecticut Port Authority, is the breadth of the projects with which it can be involved. It's kind of eliminated, you know, a lot of players. And the Hartford has done an excellent job of cost allocations for us, you know, for pricing out, you know, the ownership interest in the New London State Pier and giving us, you know, separate pricing for project management so that costs can be allocated. A lot of other markets just, you know, kind of rolled it up into a flat premium, not wanting to disclose, you know, their secret sauce. The other consideration was that we did, again, have an open liability claim, a slip and fall on the premises, a pretty significant injury. And just last month, Hartford was able to close that out with Gateway. Their insurance company accepted, you know, the claim on a primary basis. So, you know, so that matter's closed. So, you know, overall, I regard it as a good renewal. We are watching on the marine side, Axis Capital, who has been in the marine market, international marine market for, you know, 20 years or so, just came into the North American market in 2023, just, you know, announced formation of a North American marine unit. Felt it was too early to, you know, really give them serious consideration. Want to see how their unit comes together and what their appetite is. But we may give them, you know, consideration next year and see how they do. Are there any questions about the
Yeah, Vincent, I had one question. I mean, I really have no basis to opine on these coverage limits in each of these packages. Are they the same as what we did last year? And, you know, I presume you recommend these as being appropriate?
Well, that's the first question is yes, they are expiring. The second part, you know, limits recommended.
No, are they the same as last year?
They are the same as last year.
Okay. And your professional judgment, do you find that they're reasonable, or are you even allowed to opine on that?
Well, liability, you know, it's much easier to opine on property insurance. It's much more objective. Liability is subjective. You know, what's prudent? What are prudent limits for the, you know, the assets of the organization? What are similar Port authorities, you know, carrying? So that kind of benchmarking can be difficult. You know, you can't benchmark yourself against the, you know, the New York, you know, Port Authority, and the nature of the operations, you know, different, you know, airports and things of that sort. So, the thing is that you have Gateway ahead of you. So there's, you know, a lot of primary coverage, you know, in front. So a lot of this program is all designed around, you know, defense and indemnification until, you know, that claim is accepted by Gateway.
You know, and I believe, right, didn't we do this last year where we confirmed the primary liability provisions are in the lease agreement with Gateway? Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, we look at that annually, review their certificates of insurance, and you know, they are with Star Marine, you know, reputable long-term, you know, marine market. So, you know, I'm comfortable with the placement of their coverage.
Anybody have any other questions? I have one more, but anybody have any other questions for Vincent? And I'll ask my final question. I think I've asked this every year, but I forget the answer. What is the liability for the directors and officers here? I know that we have an executive policy, but could you explain what the D&O liability is here?
Correct. That's very astute. Just because of the nature of the organization, the equivalent of D&O coverage for a private corporation is built into the public entity liability. So the construction of that policy, and Jill, perhaps you can scroll back up to the public entity summary. So that's where, within the public entity liability, you have the equivalent of D&O coverage, and it's broken down. You've got $3 million of limits for any one claim of the $3 million general aggregate, and a $25,000 retention on that. The coverage itself is broken down for the entity, you know, so the Connecticut Port Authority itself, and then individually. So if the claims are made against the individual, there's coverage for the indemnification of the individuals.
So sort of a side A, side B thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And the, you know, the advantage of a public entity liability policy as opposed to D&O, the wording is more appropriate for a public entity, you know, as opposed to trying to interpret a lateral position, you know, in a public entity from that of a private one.
Okay, thank you, Vincent. Any other questions? So, Faye, what do we need here? Is this a policy that we can approve, or we recommend it to the board to approve?
Recommend to the board.
Oh, you
went on mute. Recommend
for
approval.
Okay, so
can we approve this insurance premiums to the board?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And abstain. Okay. Any old business to discuss? Any new business to discuss? Terrific. We'll take a moment. Thank you very much, Vincent. We appreciate it.
Welcome.
And we'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Thank you.